TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
So I see an enormous amount of very positive things about our team.
Show of hands.
Show of hands.
It's Show of Hands.
Yes, it is. Welcome in episode number 6 of Show of Hands. I'm Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill with me as always. And draft season fast approaching. It means the NBA playoffs are here as well for the just the 14th time in the last 15 years. The Minnesota Timberwolves won't be in the playoffs, Manny. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I totally can. Yes. Story of the franchise. Yes. Being in the lottery, not being in the playoffs. It is, not to my surprise at all with this franchise.
I am stunned. Shocked, I tell you. This will be the first time in my career I'm not covering the playoffs.
Because you were Cavs and then the Bucks last year.
This is the first time that I've covered an NBA team and not been covering the playoffs.
Well, welcome to the other side.
Am I a Minnesotan now?
You are officially a Minnesotan now, man. No playoffs.
Where I am just welcome staring aboard. Down draft lottery odds and stuff like that instead of being at a playoff game.
What are you going to do with yourself? Are you okay with this? Are you handling this?
I've got more free time right now than I have in previous springs, which I'm not mad about. And truthfully, so I've covered seasons that have gone until June.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel as if this season was actually longer than those ones because of everything that happened.
You walked right into a buzzsaw.
Yeah,
basically when you.
I
got
mean,
here.
Jimmy Butler was traded at the end of my first week, and then it never slowed down. But yeah, so lottery May 14th. I think that's the next biggest date for Minnesota Timberwolves fans. And I did a little exercise for ScoreNorth.com today, where I wrote up a mock draft. And with the mock draft is a mock lottery simulation because you can't get to the draft without having that. So what I did is I went to our good friends at Tankathon. I don't know if we're friends, but I like them a lot. And I did my first mock draft and simulation. Obviously, the Wolves don't have great odds, but in my mock, I said I was going to take the first simulation, whatever I got, I was going to take that and use that. Because it's more fun that way. I was assuming that the Wolves would be at 10th and whatever. The Wolves finished with the number 2 selection in the draft. Let me ask you this. Before we dive into that. Who do you think won?
Between you and Tankathon in this
situation? No, the lottery that I simulated.
Oh.
Without having read my mock draft. Which team do you think won the simulation?
Okay, let me think for a second.
This shouldn't be that hard.
Well, I mean, it was the Cavs, wasn't it?
It was the Cavs.
See, I was going to say Lakers at first, but then I thought, no, that'd be too easy. It had to be the Cavs.
No, the Cavs won, and they picked Zion Williamson
first.
They don't lose lotteries. I think that this might be the most likely scenario. I don't care what the odds say. This mock draft might be the most likely scenario.
Who would you like to see Zion? I mean, if you're a Wolves fan, of course, yes, this is an obvious answer. You would love to see Zion Williamson with the Wolves. But for you, as someone who follows the NBA, loves the NBA, who would you like to see Zion Williamson end up with
most? I think my two favorite potential landing spots for him are the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks. Because I think that both of their cores both fit his trajectory. I mean, they're both young still. Like, yeah, the Lakers would be cool to see him next to LeBron, but LeBron's going to be 35. That's different. Where Trae Young's a rookie, John Collins will be going into, his third year. Kevin Herter's a rookie. They're a very young, talented core.
Yeah.
In Dallas, Kristaps Porzingis is still young. Obviously, Luka is 20 years old. I would love to see him next to those guys because I think that that's a way to create a championship core for years to come. And I would love to see those teams that really have done it the right way be rewarded with that. And I think that would be a really cool thing. If he goes to New York and plays next to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that's interesting, but it's not as fun. I would like to see him go to an opportunity where he can grow and he can take those rookie growing pains that are going to come. Like, he's not going to walk in and suddenly be the best player in basketball. It's obviously not going to happen.
Right.
I would like to see him be able to grow alongside other guys that are going through that. And playing on a stage in New York next to Kyrie and Kevin Durant would not be that. So I'd like to see him go to Dallas or Atlanta.
The team that I keep thinking of, and you put this idea into my head a few weeks back, is New Orleans.
New Orleans would be very interesting. It'd
be very interesting, because if you're Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans win the lottery and they take Zion Williamson, are you suddenly having a change of heart in your trade request?
That's
that makes it, because that makes it much more interesting. It makes it a much more interesting roster and circumstance. And, I mean, they've got front office things that they need to figure out and everything. But
I do love the hire they made, though.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that hire. And I know he's optimistic about that situation, too.
Yeah.
And he's very excited to be there, and that's something that's it's cool to see. I'm really happy for David Griffin, who was hired as the, I forget what his official title is, but he's the president of basketball operations in essence there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out on May 14th if David Griffin is good at winning lotteries or if the Cavs are, because he was there for all three wins.
Yeah, he was there for all three of them, huh?
For three of those. In that four-year stretch when they won it three times, he was there for all three. And I'm interested in seeing who has the luck, which party it is.
Yeah, and if you're Anthony Davis and that happens, and all of a sudden you've got Zion Williamson there playing beside you in that front court, you still got Drew Holiday, who's really good.
You're suddenly not a bad team.
Yeah. I don't know.
So back to my mock draft. Obviously, I had the Cavs selecting Zion number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at this point, no matter who wins the lottery, Zion is going to be the pick. I don't think that it's a debate. I think it's Zion no matter what.
Yep.
And I think it'd be very hard for someone to come up with an argument there. I had the Wolves picking second. Let me run through the order. So Minnesota got the number two pick. The Atlanta Hawks got the three pick. And the Wizards selected fourth.
Mm.
So after that, it was Knicks, Suns, Bulls, Pelicans. Celtics got the pick from Memphis because Memphis fell back one with the Wolves moving up. Then Hawks from Dallas, Lakers, Hornets, Heat, Boston again. I had the Wolves at number two. I picked Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he'd be a really interesting fit next to Carl. I think that he's probably a much better version of Tyus Jones. And I think that we all think Tyus fits well next to Carl. He just has some offensive limitations where Ja Morant probably doesn't have those same limitations. How torn are you between Morant and RJ Barrett? Because I picked him third with the Hawks.
I love Ja Morant. I really do. And I like RJ Barrett a lot too. I think that if you're trying to build a championship contending team, you need good wing players. In today's NBA, you need wings that can knock down threes. You need wings that can defend a little bit. You need wings that can create their own shot. Like RJ Barrett, to me, if he ends up on the Wolves, can in some ways be everything that we were maybe hoping that Andrew Wiggins could be, but isn't.
Yes.
I was like, I think that's the hope going in if the Wolves end up with RJ Barrett. Ja Morant, though, man, like, I think this kid's going to be really, really special. I think there's his vision, his ability to get to the rim and finish and make plays for other people. And I know people are going to talk about the league that he was, you know, the conference that he was in. You know, did he face enough, you know, stiff enough competition and all that? Like, Damian Lillard played at Weber State.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
CJ McCollum played at Lehigh.
Right. So it's, I think we're kind of at a point now in college basketball where I don't know if the competition that these guys are facing, well, Steph Curry went to Davidson.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know if that really matters as much anymore. I think Ja Morant is going to be really, really, really good. And I think if the Wolves are sitting there at two, if they luck into that two spot like they did in your mock, I'm going with Ja Morant there. Because I think a dynamic point guard who can score and make plays for other people around them is exactly what this team needs.
Yeah, that was my thinking when I made this selection. I think that it would be a perfect fit. More, and there's a bit of a clog on the wing. They don't have good enough wings right now in Minnesota with the Wolves, but they've got Andrew Wiggins. They've got Josh Okogie. They've got Robert Covington. They might have Lou Alding back. They've got a bunch of guys that can play the wing. They don't have a bunch of guys that can play point guard. Jeff Teague will be back or get traded. Tyus Jones is an RFA. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose is an unrestricted free agent. And same with Jared Bayless, who probably won't be back. So you don't have that depth at point guard that you have on the wing right now. That's just, and you have Cam Reynolds, who I didn't bring up, who has a very solid chance of making the team in training camp next year out on the wing, too. That matters. And I'm not saying that, oh, you've got the number two pick. You make your selection based off. No, you take the top player available there, especially in today's era. But I would go with Morant there, as I did. I think that pairing him with Carl would be an awesome thing for the Wolves.
Yeah, and he would be the most dynamic point guard that they've had since probably Stephon Marbury.
Do you think that his age, because he's a sophomore, he spent 2 years at college, would that play into it at all? Where he is a year older than RJ Barrett and all the other freshmen?
It doesn't make much of a difference for me at all, really. Either way, positively or negatively.
It doesn't matter that he's almost 20, that he'll be 20 before he plays rather than 19.
No, it doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah, it didn't matter for me either. But this was a very interesting lottery scenario that I think was worth digging into. And I will be honest, I was a little, I don't want to say upset, but I was a little disappointed that the Wolves got up to number two in my first mock selection because I was excited to go in and watch some stuff. Like, I think maybe Kobe White at number 10 would make some sense for North Carolina point guard. Not as good as Ja Morant, but he's got a pretty high ceiling. Mm-hmm. I've heard really good things about Brandon Clark, the stretch four from Gonzaga. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be able to watch some stuff from these guys before I make a selection with the Wolves, because they'll probably potentially at least both be there at 10. Nope. Ja Morant. Like, I was like, well, it saved me a bunch of time, but because I'm very much admittedly not a huge college basketball guy, where I don't know a ton about all of these prospects. I'm relying on some draft big boards and a little bit of watching, but not a ton. Like, I'm no college hoops savant by any stretch of the imagination, but I was excited to dig into some of them. I'm like, well, never mind. I guess I'll do it next week.
but this would be, if the Wolves are not going to win the lottery, I mean, obviously getting second.
I think second is winning the lottery.
Yeah.
I think that's a win. That's absolutely a win. For finishing 10th, that's awesome.
Because I think you still have a chance to get a really, really good player and a guy that can really help you, you know, long term. And I think one way or another, this team, though, it is so vital that wherever they end up picking, that they get it right.
Yes.
It is so vital.
They can't screw this up. They absolutely cannot screw it up. If they screw up this pick, and they didn't last year, credit to the front office last year, because they nailed that draft. Josh Okogie is a very serviceable player. Mm-hmm. I think Kata Bates-Diop will be as well. They need to do better this year than they did last year, and they did good last year. That's not an indictment. It's a thing. They have to get a better player this year than Josh Okogie. They need someone that they can build around with Carl, or they're going to waste his prime. And that's something that should worry everyone, because you've got the most talented guy since Garnett. I think Carl is more talented than Kevin Love. Kevin Love did other things better, but I think Carl is more talented than him. Yeah. You've got the most talented guy since Garnett. You don't want to waste his prime, because they don't come around. As everyone in this state knows, they don't come around often.
And because of the financial situation that they're in with the Wiggins contract and Gorgie's contract, and granted it's only a year left, but Jeff Teague's contract plays into this as well.
Yep.
You can't just go out and sign free agents.
You're not going to be a player.
Even if you could, it would be an uphill battle.
Yes,
going up against, you got the Lakers that have cap space. You got the Clippers. You've got both New York teams that have cap space. You're going to be competing with the two biggest markets in the United States.
And Manny.
For talent.
I'm going to let you in on a secret here. No one knows this. I can't believe I'm saying this in front of a hot mic. Living in Minneapolis in the winter is not the most fun thing ever. I can't believe I said that. Oh, my gosh.
As someone who has lived here my entire life, I know exactly what you mean.
That's not everything, but that's part of it. If it's a dead heat, where would you rather live thing? you're not going to pick Minneapolis. I'm sorry.
And the other part, too, is the Wolves have to, not only do they have to build a good roster around Cat, but they've got to, I think, they've got to start presenting themselves as an overall organization to make themselves more enticing to play for.
Yeah.
They really got to, I mean, they've got to step it up in that direction. And, you know, and that's going to start with hiring the right president of basketball operations, whoever it is.
I want to dig into that next. Do you have any name? And I wrote about this last week. Do you have any names that you want or that you think would make a good fit? Obviously, David Griffin's now off the board.
Right.
He was my top candidate and one of nine that I put on a list. And that didn't even include Calvin Booth, who might be the favorite. But I wanted to go with some other names here. Is there someone that's piqued your interest since we last spoke about it?
No one in particular outside of Calvin Booth, and I just bring him up because he's been around the Denver Nuggets now the last couple of years, and so he's been a part of their ascension to where they are right now in terms of just growing players, developing players, things like that. I mean, he's got previous ties to the organization. He played here for a hot tick, and he was working in the front office here for a hot tick. So the front office that's already in place, the owner already knows him very well. From what we've heard from Doogie, he's interested in the job. He's interested in the position. So to me, that in some ways makes the most sense when you factor in all of the factors,
sure,
so to speak. But outside of that, I mean, I just, there's no one else in particular that I know, but I want, if it's not going to be Calvin Booth, I think it needs to be somebody that has some front office experience with a front office that has had success.
I think that's where you need to look. I don't know that looking at names is the right thing, and obviously that's what I've done, and I'm going to continue to do and throw names at you here. But I think if you're an outsider just looking in, you should want them to be targeting guys from organizations that are successful.
Mm-hmm.
You should want them to be going after Mike Zarin, who's the assistant GM in Boston, who's been around Danny Ainge and Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens, and has been around some really smart basketball names. That's what you should want. You should want a guy like Troy Weaver, who's the vice president of basketball operations in OKC. That's a very smart organization, despite Russell Westbrook being incredibly inefficient. The organization's terrific. You should want to look at a guy like Michael Winger, who's the GM of the LA Clippers, because the Clippers have been better than anyone at building lately. And now they've opened up cap space. They've done it without signing guys. They've traded their best player three times and now are in the playoffs. You should want to look at guys like that. And that's where I think the search should be headed. I would love to hear those three names tossed in, reported. I'd love to hear that the Wolves reached out to them.
Yeah, and I think that if you're Glenn Taylor, it is so vital. I mean, we talked about a minute ago about how vital it is that they get this draft pick right. It is even more vital, Danny, that they get this hire right.
Do you think this is the most important hire in franchise history?
Absolutely.
Why?
100%. Because you have a generational talent that you have probably the second best player in the history of your franchise right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 23 years old, and you've got him locked up for 5 years. But really, in a sense, you've got him really locked up for probably 3 years.
Yeah, especially with what we just saw in New Orleans.
Yep. So you've got to get this right, because if you don't, if you swing and miss on a front office hire again, and this person makes bad draft picks, makes bad free agent signings, makes bad trades, that makes it even more difficult to build around Karl Anthony Towns. And Cat gets into the third year of his contract, and all of a sudden he's not happy because the team's not contending and they're not winning.
See ya.
See you later.
Yeah.
And at that point, we're talking 33, 34 years of a franchise that has just not been good, save for an 8-year run with Kevin Garnett where they were going to the playoffs every year.
But even then, they underachieved once they got there.
Mm-hmm.
They won two series.
Yep.
You don't want that to be repeated. And right now, it doesn't look good. I'm going to be honest. It just doesn't.
No.
I'm curious how much here the president will be, how much power he'll be given, actually given. Because in this situation, the president of basketball operation is supposed to be the, that's where the buck stops. He's the one that makes all final decisions, gets to decide the coach, gets to decide the GM, gets to decide the players, blah, blah, blah. I'm curious if that's actually going to be the case here, because I have my trepidations about Glenn letting that be the case. That's a concern. Do you share that?
Yeah. That person needs to make the decision. And look, I like Ryan Saunders.
I do too.
I tip my hat to him for he did not step into an easy situation. It was a very awkward situation with Tibbs getting fired and Ryan being the one that had to take over a scenario that wasn't great. It was a roster that was riddled with injuries the entire time, the rest of the way. But all due respect to Ryan, the president of basketball operations needs to be allowed to make the decision on the head coach. And maybe, you know, maybe you bring in whoever that is going to be, and that person looks at Ryan Saunders and says, yeah, I like, you know, they evaluate everything that went on, and they said, okay, yeah, I like this. I'll give him a shot. And you know what? If that's the case, great, cool, great for Ryan. But the president of basketball operations needs to be the one to make that decision.
Do you think the wrench thrown into that particular question was Sacramento firing Dave Yeager?
Oh, yeah.
How much does that complicate things, do we think?
I think it complicates things quite a bit.
Because there are ties there.
Mm-hmm.
He has expressed interest before. I haven't heard anything as of right now, but I would be surprised if they haven't reached out to his agent or his agent hasn't been in some sort of contact with the organization. Just as a feeler. And I think you have to pick up the phone at the very least.
He has to be the first person you call right now. I think, and look, the Kings, they've hired Luke Walton. I like Luke Walton.
That was quick, man.
Yeah, it was very, very quick.
He's already been introduced. not just hired, not just reportedly hired. They had their press conference today. He was fired like yesterday.
And you know what? And Luke Walton might do well in Sacramento. And then,
I think he will.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then Vlade can say, yeah, see, I made the right decision. But Dave Yeager can coach, man. And, you know, I just think that if you're the Wolves and you're in this situation, you've got to pick up the phone and call him.
I agree. I
do you think, okay, hypothetically speaking, let's say the Wolves call Dave Yeager. He gets the job. They give him the job.
But they're not going to do that before they hire a president of basketball operations, correct?
Sure. Correct. Yep. Okay. But let's say they've got the POBO in place, the new POBO in place. He calls Dave Yeager to get a deal done. Dave Yeager's the next coach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ryan sticks around?
That's a concern. I don't know. Because it's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It is awkward once you were the guy to go to being not the guy. Like, that's an awkward situation. And I'm curious if, and I think Ryan did a fine job, and I love that they made him the interim coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious if they would have been better off long-term making someone else the interim coach, because now there's pressure there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it would ever ruin a relationship, because I don't think it would. But instead of easily being able to keep him on the next staff, if you pick someone else, it's hard to. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious how the organization feels about that.
Now, what if you present Ryan with a significant bump in salary and you attach associate head coach to his title?
I think that's the very least you could do.
Mm-hmm.
The very least. And it's, I don't know that it's an organizational decision. I think it's a decision Ryan would have to make.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be, hey, I don't know if I'm comfortable here. And I haven't asked Ryan about this and whatever, but it's a very real possibility. I would have to think it would be a tad bit awkward coming back as an assistant after already being the head coach.
Yeah. I think if the Wolves go the route, and again, we don't know if they will or not, but I think if they go the route and they pursue Dave Yeager, I think you have to give Ryan the opportunity to be like an associate head coach, like attach associate head coach to his title.
He can't go back to being like the number three or number four guy.
Exactly.
He has to be the top. He would have to be the top assistant without question. You can't go back to just having him be just another assistant.
And I think he's earned that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's earned that.
If not the head coaching job. Mm-hmm. Because I think he earned that too.
Yeah.
It's just not his decision, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah. I am very, very, very – this is going to be – this is going to be the most vital offseason in franchise history because there's so many different decisions that need to be made on the court, behind the scenes in the front office that could really, really, really make a huge difference in the direction that this franchise goes.
There are so many interesting layers to the next couple of months, not only here, but I think across the NBA. I think here it's very interesting on a local level.
I can't wait till free agency.
I can't wait till draft lottery night.
Yeah.
Because there's the possibility that the Pelicans end up with three picks in the top 14. Very real possibility. Because they could trade for Anthony Davis with Boston, and if that Memphis pick conveys to Boston, Pelicans could have it.
Do you think the Magic Johnson thing has...
Oh my gosh, have we really not talked about that?
I know. We really haven't got a chance to talk. Do you think that that has changed the potential of Anthony Davis going there? Or ending up there, I guess?
No, because they haven't replaced him. If they had replaced Magic Johnson with someone else that's competent, then maybe. But all they've done is given Rob Pelinka, who hasn't shown he can do anything, more power. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lakers are in no better shape now than last week when Magic Johnson was still in charge. No better shape.
Was that the most awkward press conference that you've witnessed?
That I've witnessed?
Mm-hmm. Can you name me a more awkward press conference? One that you've... I mean, this could be one that you've seen on TV or one that you've actually been in attendance for.
I'm not entirely sure right now. I got to think.
That was so incredibly awkward. Everything about that press conference, the fact that it was random, not even like last minute decided. He goes up there in front of them, like, and it's not even like at... You know, like a podium. It's like...
No, it's in front of a screen.
It's in front of a screen. And Magic Johnson saying, yeah, my boss doesn't even know that I'm doing this.
That was
I'm
so
telling
awkward.
I'm telling all of you, and I'm telling the entire United States. I'm telling social media. I'm telling Twitter. I'm telling the NBA Twitter and the media that I'm quitting my job. But, oh, yeah, my boss doesn't know what I'm doing yet. Has to be the most awkward, right?
It's up there, man. I can't think of another one that tops it right now. Not that I've been to, but it's incredible. It was. I didn't watch much of that game last Tuesday night between the Wolves and the Raptors because that happened. I
texted you. I was at home watching the game, and I texted you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what I said. I don't know if it was like Magic Johnson, LOL, or something.
I think you just texted
like
me
that.
Like, this is amazing, and I knew you weren't talking about the Wolves game. Like, I watched Twitter because that happened with, like, 6 minutes left in the second quarter is when, like, Magic Johnson stepped in front of the reporters' mics. And with 6 minutes left in the third quarter, he was still talking. And that included Quad City DJs playing at halftime. Amazing, by the way. Not quite Ja Rule, but Quad City DJs, oh, awesome.
They do all their hits?
I mean, they have what, two?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes, they did both. They did both hits.
Oh, phenomenal. That's why we love the NBA, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, the Magic Johnson thing is, that sort of stuff is exactly why we love this league so much.
Yeah, it was amazing. And just when you think things can't get worse for the Wolves, at least you're not that. I realize they have LeBron, but at least you are not that laughing stock. At least you're not that. All right. Single simulation, then we'll get out of here for today.
Okay.
You and I have talked a whole bunch today. We just hosted Score North Live right before we recorded this, so it's 4:46 on Monday evening, if you're curious about when this is happening. I'm on tankathon.com right now. Just click Sim Lottery, and not a whole ton of movement.
Okay.
What we have is the New York Knicks winning the first overall pick, the Atlanta Hawks number two, Phoenix Suns number three, and the New Orleans Pelicans number four.
Mm. Okay. Here's mine. Oh, taking a long time.
It took a little bit for mine as well. A little laggy today.
Okay. Winning the draft lottery in my sim, the Atlanta Hawks.
That would be so much fun.
Number two, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Wow.
Number three, this is amazing. All these teams that moved up, the Washington Wizards.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the New York Knicks, who finished with the league's worst record, are fourth. Cleveland, fifth. Phoenix, sixth. And then I think everything gets back to normal with Chicago, Memphis, Dallas, et cetera, et cetera.
That would be amazing. That would be peak chaos if we got three or four teams that were not the bottom teams that jump up. That would be peak chaos, and I am all here for it.
I would love it. That'd be fantastic. I'm with you. Zion and Atlanta would be a lot of fun.
Yes. If Atlanta picks two, I think they don't go Ja Morant, too. I think if Atlanta
falls, RJ?
I think they go RJ Barrett just because they've got Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young. Yeah.
Like, that's where it makes sense to draft upon need and not overall talent. But this has been episode number 6 of Show of Hands. We'll be back next week with probably another mock draft, definitely another lottery simulation. We'll be doing those up until May 14th. Just under a month from right now is when the Wolves will be finding out where they select in the 2019 NBA draft. More playoff action to come tonight. Dane Moore and myself will be talking tomorrow on Raised by Wolves. You can find that on the same channel as this one on iTunes or Spotify. Once again, go find us on iTunes and Spotify. Rate us, give us 5 stars, write us a nice review. We really appreciate it. It helps out a whole ton. Until next time, for Manny Hill, I'm Danny Cunningham. This has been Show of Hands.